Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On, the podcast where we do go on a bit about things. My name is Matt Stewart. I am here with no one at all. I'm in my accommodation in Adelaide because we did a live Adelaide episode this week. How exciting is that? Dave slept on my floor. He's gone now, back to Melbourne, unfortunately. Jess as well. But just a couple of days ago, we recorded a really fun episode in Adelaide, which we're about to do. Well, you're about to hear anyway. But before I do, I just want to tell you about some other live shows quickly. Including, well, mine, I'm still in Adelaide because I'm still doing shows in Adelaide. I'm here until this Sunday at the National Wine Centre, which is a fantastic venue for comedy. And you can see my show there at 8 o'clock each night from here till Sunday. From there, so I finished that on the 17th, I go straight to Brisbane, doing shows from the 19th to the 24th at the Brisbane Comedy Festival there at the Powerhouse, 8:45. In the evening, and the Sunday show's an hour earlier at 7:45. Then the Melbourne International Comedy Festival straight after that, so a couple of days later, March 28th, that starts, and that's on all the way through till April the 21st, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock Sundays, and that's at the Chinese Museum. And after that, the last stop on the tour at this stage is the Sydney Comedy Festival, and that is from May the 16th, just three shows, May the 16th, 18th, and 19th, and it's at the Factory Theatre. That's a 9:30 show. The Sunday show is 8:30. There you go. What a fascinating tale that was. Hopefully you enjoyed the journey as much as me. So hopefully I'll see you in Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne or Sydney. And of course, Do Go On has also got live shows coming up at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. We're doing Saturdays at 3 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. So you can see us there on March 30th, April 6th, 13th and 20th. And they should be super fun shows. I think we've mentioned in past episodes, we won't be putting them all out into the feed. So if you want to hear all those episodes, you got to come along and be in the room. They're way more fun in the room anyway, probably. Hopefully they translate to fun on the recording as well. And then we're going to Koh Samui, our first podcast in Asia, on June the 11th till June the 16th. That's a whole week. It still doesn't make heaps of sense to me, but it's a festival of podcast. The Little Dum Dum Club is also going to be there, and they have a bunch of guests, usually big Australian comedians. And yeah, we do multiple podcasts through the week. I'm hoping to maybe even do my first ever live primates there, but I have not talked to anyone about that, so I don't know if that's even possible. But that's a dream at the moment. So you can check out details for the live podcasts at dogoonpod.com/events. And you can check out details about my live comedy shows for Bone Dry at mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. Anyhow, let's get on with the show. Let me introduce to you Dave, who's going to introduce us live in Adelaide just a couple of days ago. Over to you, Dave.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage us. It's Do Go On! Hi! Yeah. Yes, hello Adelaide! How you doing?
Nice. Sounds very nice. Hey, this guy came to my show the other night and we reminisced about how a year ago he got drunk and embarrassed everyone. Welcome back. But I will let you live that down.
You're back on the cans tonight. This is good. Will
you
be embarrassing yourself? How good is this? We got a freaking runway. Yeah, you thought you were up the back. No way. High five all the back here. All right. Audience participation, there's no one who's safe tonight. No one.
You run like a fucking nerd.
All right.
Even you're not safe.
Yeah. All right.
This is you. I'll do an impression of you.
Okay, great.
Was that accurate? I felt like a fucking nerd.
Oh, so accurate. So accurate. But guys, how are you? You good? Thank you so much for coming out to seeing us here. We can probably sit down, to be honest.
Yeah, all right.
What do you reckon?
Why?
Now you're a lot closer than I am to you.
Yeah, that I placed the chairs. Bit of space wouldn't kill you.
It sort of feels weird to me, but
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it does actually. Now you're too far. Come back a bit more. There we go. Last night, Dave... Dave slept on the floor of Matt's bedroom on some couch cushions.
Guys, we have really made it. Three couch cushions pushed against each other does not a mattress make, can I just say that? But
you said you were comfortable. What a way to tell me my hospitality wasn't up to scratch in front of some amount of people here tonight.
That was what I was comfortable admitting to you. That's what I meant. It was all right. It was okay. I mean...
You look great.
Thank you. Do I look well rested?
Oh, they didn't. Oh, they did not want to say. You look like shit.
Yeah. You have not aged well since yesterday.
Oh no! God, I suddenly look my age. Yeah. Oh no!
We just went to the Adelaide Zoo. Have you been there? Yeah. Bet you made a fucking mess there, didn't you?
Yeah. Bet you embarrassed all the animals, didn't you? Yeah.
Nah, you're great. Good on you, man.
I know what you're like.
Good on you.
Did you shit yourself in front of a panda?
They are notoriously judgy.
Yeah. We saw one panda of two pandas. The other panda, no one could tell us where it was.
We could not find Wang Wang. Was it Wang Wang?
Yeah, we could not find Wang Wang.
An age-old problem, eh?
All right.
Oh, that's not a universal thing. All right.
You can't find Wang Wang. Hey, Adelaide, give us a cheer if you've listened to Do Go On before.
Thank you.
A cheer, thank you. And no shame, no embarrassment. Give us a cheer if you've never heard this show before. A few? There's always a hesitation.
Okay, all right. Because I'm looking out and I'm seeing you either clap on your partner's leg or being like, it's this guy, it's this guy. Which one of you has not heard the show? Oh, okay. It's you.
Dave.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, there's the one.
I was like, don't be shy, you know, as if like, we're not going to pick on you. And then straight away you're like, you.
Oh, sorry, I meant like, welcome.
Yeah, that was a welcoming threat.
Yeah.
We're like that in Victoria.
You haven't having fun so far?
Yeah.
So what did you say?
It's great.
Okay, what is that about? Oh, what are you doing there? Is that an Adelaide accent?
No, that's an Irish accent.
Irish accent. Ah, to be sure.
You piece of shit. You piece of shit.
Hey, I'm allowed to. I'm like some percent Irish.
All right, Matt. I've got to
draw a line here because yeah. basically every accent you say, don't worry, I'm 1% and then whatever that accent is.
No, I'd be double digits percent Irish.
You're a man of the world.
Yeah. Where are you from? Kilkenny? Killarney. I'm a Killarney. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll talk later.
I'm really sorry. We'll stop looking at you now.
I won't. I'll never stop. Blood brother.
To be fair, we really can't see much beyond you, yeah. so you're like the back row to us. So I can't say we won't look at you again, but if I do, I will quickly avert my gaze.
Yeah.
Now I'm panicking. Yeah. Dave, help me.
All right, I just wanted to ask, give us a round of applause if you're from Adelaide or near to Adelaide. Most people from Adelaide? Great.
Very good. Very proud about it. Very cool.
Okay, how about out of towners? Let me hear you.
A few out of towners. Where are you from? You're from Melbourne. Anybody else from somewhere not our town?
He's from Ireland,
yeah,
he just said.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, you should check out the Riverdance episode. It's a classic and, yeah, do yourself a favour.
Yeah, he's not kidding. We talked about Riverdance for an hour and a half. I couldn't believe it either. But we did it. But we absolutely did it.
Have you heard of Michael Flatley? The man can tap.
All
it's
right.
true. That is a true thing. He can and he will.
He can tap.
He's a great tapper. Now, thank you so much for coming out to see us here in Adelaide. First time here. Great to be here at the National Wine Centre. Lots of barrels on the wall.
Yeah. It's good to be surrounded, you know. Yeah. Feel at home.
I mean, if they all ruptured at once, we'd all drown. So.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
I went on a winery tour yesterday. And at one of the wineries, they took us down into like where they used to store wine. And now it's just this nice little cellar area. But before we went in, she was like, yeah, so they used to store wine in there. And these holes you can see on the ground were how they tested the wine. One guy drowned in the room we're going into. All right, follow me.
Hope they fished him out before they bottled it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, would that whole batch be ruined, do you reckon? Or would they just not tell anyone?
I think they'd just say, oh, oaky and a little bit body. Human-y here.
It's got a lot of body.
A lot of body, a lot of body. Very good. That was there. That was right there. I went human.
Yes, yeah. That was great.
No.
That was.
Wow. No, but it took us too long.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. But we got there.
Yeah.
See, that's why I like you being far away, because anytime I high five you, you basically fall off the chair.
Okay, who wants the show to start?
All right. Why don't you say we start the show? If you haven't heard the show before, or just a little reminder, what we do here is we usually take it in turns to report on a topic suggested by a listener that the other two don't know what it's going to be. But because we're going to have some fun here in Adelaide today, we've decided to all do a mini report on an overall... So you get a little bit of the three of us, and the overall theme that we're going for is... Jess, what are we talking about today?
Famous animals.
Ooh.
I did this for Razzle Dazzle.
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't realise it was famous animals. I just heard animals. I thought it was just animals.
Was it famous animals?
Yeah.
You said famous animals.
Alright.
And you read half a message, which is... probably about right, yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely
that's
see that.
That's an average.
Happening.
So, well, I mean, have you written a mini report about something animal related?
Yeah.
Then you're fine. Good job.
Okay, great.
Yeah, sweet. I'm going to kick things off.
Fantastic. And we usually start with a question. Well, that is, most of us usually start with a question.
I wrote a question, Dave.
Fantastic. Yeah. Great work. Great work.
I deserve that. I never write the question. I'm an idiot. You've probably figured that out already about the three of us, really, that there isn't one idiot, there's three, but I'm a bit of an idiot, and I forget to write the question until Dave says, and we always start with a question, like a fuck! But I did write one, and my question is... which animal attracts tens of thousands of visitors on one day of the year?
Ooh.
Shut up.
Is it Bill Murray adjacent?
Perhaps.
Ooh. Oh, Farlap.
International Farlap Day.
Yeah.
Featuring Bill Murray.
Bill Murray adjacent. Okay. I'm going to see what you're doing here. Murray River. Uh-huh. We're talking platypus.
Yeah. that breed of animal that's famous.
Hey, okay, but this is actually a competition where we're adding up who gets the most right. So I'm going to say groundhog.
But what's his name?
Oh, Bill Pilophilus Murray? Phil or something like that.
Punxsutawney Phil.
I said that. For the recording, it sounded like Jess said it, but that was me.
You are getting very good at your Jess impression.
Oh, I'm Jess.
I mean, it's not wrong.
To be honest, that is better than expected. So
yeah. So, yes, my topic is Punxsutawney Phil, made famous by the film Groundhog Day. And, oh boy, is it weird. The backstory is strange and amazing. Groundhogs are creatures within the rodent family that weigh between 12 and 15 pounds and can live up to 8 years. They are omnivores. They commonly eat grass, vegetables, fruit. They can climb trees and they can swim. I'm just giving you a bit of background.
This is full David Attenborough here. This is really good stuff.
Imagine if he was like that. They can swim. Yeah. It's super cute. Yeah. Let's go paddle, 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 yeah. Paddle, paddle.
Just giving you a bit of background here,
guys.
A bit of background.
Each fall, groundhogs go into hibernation until March. And when they emerge from hibernation, their initial purpose is to find a mate. They ready to fuck. But we're not talking about just any groundhog. We're talking about the most famous and inaccurate groundhog meteorologist. At daybreak on February 2nd, Groundhog Day, Punk's attorney Phil awakens from his burrow on Gobbler's Knob.
I haven't been able to find my Gobbler's Knob in ages.
Gobbler's Knob. That's great.
To be honest, that's why you chose this,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Started reading and went... Now, according to the tradition, if Phil sees his shadow and returns to his hole, he has predicted 6 more weeks of winter. But if he does not see his shadow, he has predicted an early spring. He has quite a skill set for a groundhog.
What? Does anyone ever try and mess with that and like get some sort of light that hovers over him to avoid him seeing his shadow?
Yeah, they put him in an interrogation room.
Yeah. And thus it changes the weather throughout the rest of the year.
If you want spring.
I do.
So this tradition has been celebrated since 1887.
So it's a really old groundhog.
It's a very old groundhog.
And they can only live to be 8.
Well, no, according to the law, L-O-R-E, not law, like, you're under arrest for being a groundhog.
Okay. Well, back to the interrogation room,
yeah,
sorry.
That's a weird law. It is the same groundhog, and he has outlived the expected lifespan by about 16 times and is 132 years old.
Wow.
But I tell you what, he doesn't look a day over 130. And apparently he has been sustained this whole time. His secret for a long life, maybe you could take some of this home, is drinks of groundhog punch or the elixir of life.
Wow.
Wait, groundhog punch, is he drinking other groundhogs?
Yes.
That's...
He's punching other groundhogs.
So
this keeps me young.
So the movie Groundhog Day came out in 1993, I believe, and before that, the average crowd that would gather every year was about 2,000 people, which is still way too many people. But the year after it was released, that grew to 10,000, and now it's crowds as large as 40,000 people gather every year. Every year. And they stay up all night and they do this ceremony at like 5 in the morning. And I saw, you can YouTube it, there was just a bunch of middle-aged white men in tuxedos singing and dancing to try and do some crowd work and get people pumped before the main event, which is a groundhog. So that's
And presumably 40,000 people turn up, but then like 8 people get a glimpse.
Yeah, because it's a groundhog.
Yeah.
Unless they have big screens, which I wouldn't be that surprised.
That would be amazing. It's on the jumbo screen.
So, yeah. So the inner circle, which is the group that facilitate these proceedings, is, like I said, a bunch of old white dudes wearing top hats and tuxedos.
Well, that sounds so sinister, the inner circle.
I know. The inner circle.
What are they doing to that groundhog?
But it's something so whimsical and like fun and silly, but they're called, it's like, sounds like a cult.
Yeah, they're still murdering people, yeah, but for a fun reason.
They're a band, the Inner Circle. You remember that? Anyone remember Inner Circle?
It's not them.
Oh. That song, Sweat.
How'd that go?
A la 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 long, a la 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 long, longly long, long, long.
Yeah.
Come on.
That song's fucked.
Girl, I wanna make you sweat. Sweat till you can't sweat no more. And if you cry out,
I'm gonna push it some more. No, no.
Abort, abort.
Oh. And
oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sorry for bringing that up.
Because it's so fun, that song. And you're like, la, 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 long, la. Oh, my God.
And some of you might think that Matt doing the accent there was quite offensive, but you've got to remember that 1% of his lineage can be traced back to the Caribbean, so that's fine.
What accent? That was my normal singing voice.
I liked you. That, though. We should do more duets. Okay, that's a no. And no one else was into it. That means they want me to sing alone.
Well, if they want it, sure. I got you, babe.
Wait, are you Sonny or Cher?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Inner Circle, not the creepy, rapey song, guys. The vice president of the Inner Circle prepares two scrolls in advance of the actual ceremony, one proclaiming 6 more weeks of winter and one proclaiming an early spring. So Phil, they get him out of his little box and they hold him up and everyone goes, "Woo, a groundhog!" Which if they saw in the wild, they'd be like, "Ugh, groundhog." But this one, they're like, "Woo!" That's my impression of everyone in the crowd. Woo! Anyway, he's held... And they put him up on the top of the ceremonial tree stump. And he whispers to the president of the Inner Circle.
I mean, are you hearing this?
Yes. In a language known as groundhoggies.
No! The ceremonial tree stump, it does sound like someone is about to sacrifice a groundhog.
The groundhog, yes. Yeah. If he predicts more winter, they slaughter him.
What he whispers in his ear is, "Girl, I'm going to make you sweat."
Sweat till you can't sweat no more. And if you cry out. so he whispers to him in their common language, groundhoggies. Only the president can understand groundhoggies, and only if he's holding his magical presidential wooden cane. In one place I read only the current president can understand groundhoggies, which really makes it sound like they kill any former presidents. it's only when he's holding the magical wooden cane, of course. You know, your language stick.
Yeah, it's the talkie stick. We've all got one.
The talkie stick, yeah. So he whispers in and he says, "Oop, seen a shadow," or "Oop, haven't seen a shadow." And then they make a prediction and everyone just loses their mind and parties. He first received his name in 1966. So they've been doing this since the 1880s.
1966?
No, 1961.
Yeah, that was close. Thank God.
We would have to be is genuinely racing.
Have to hear a boring anecdote about a team no one cares about.
The origins of the name Phil are a bit unclear, but some people have speculated that he's named indirectly after Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. Which makes a lot of sense. It's a very clear connection. We can all see why that would make sense, so I don't need to try and explain that at all.
Prince Philip wasn't alive in 1886 either, was he?
I reckon he was.
Oh.
Yeah. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
He's the only one on Earth older than that groundhog. And boy, does he look his age. Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing. He looks bad. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you're mega wealthy.
Me?
No, God, no. Prince Philip.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Prince, you're oof. No. Dave slept on cushions on your floor. That sentence was never addressed to any of us. So it's like he should probably have access to like better face creams, you know?
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm getting at.
Do face creams work?
Yeah.
Maybe the groundhog should get under
there. I heard someone confidently go, mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, they do. That's all I need is someone to tell me something confidently, and I believe it.
Okay, great.
You mean he was named incorrectly after Prince Philip?
Indirectly.
Oh, right. I heard incorrectly, and I'm like, okay.
Philip's name isn't Ponsatoni, so it does feel slightly incorrect.
Ponsatoni.
They said Prince Philip, and I said, yep, Ponsatoni Phil.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's on the birth certificate now, we can't change it.
Yeah. Well, if you sort of think about it as well, so he makes this prediction every year, has for 133 times now, and as of this year, he has made 133 predictions, predicting an early spring 19 times. And the inner circle, in keeping with kayfabe, the only other time I've seen this word, kayfabe, wrestling and weird cults. They claim a 100% accuracy rate, which isn't correct.
A kayfabe is the agreed storyline behind the wrestling, if you want.
So, when wrestlers go home and they're all friends, if they're seen out in public, they have to be like, I'm going to kill you. Yeah.
Like if they sit next to each other on a plane and a fan looks over at them, the whole plane they have to be like, I hate you, I hate you. 16 hours.
I did that anyway when we flew to the UK.
You're very annoying to sit next to.
Yeah. And I sat in the middle. It was good fun.
And Matt still fell asleep during The Incredibles 2.
Three times! He watched that movie so many times! I was watching with him. I was watching his screen, and every time I'd sort of look at him to see if he reacted at something, he's doing this.
It was a very soothing film. I don't know why you're still talking about that. Months ago, let go. Am I right? You got to let go of the past.
Don't let him have that. So they say he's been right 100% of the time. Impartial estimates place the groundhog's accuracy between 35 and 40%. So not that amazing. And a couple of other sort of quick fun facts. In 1995, Phil flew to Chicago for a guest appearance on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Do they let Oprah hold the stick so she could talk to him?
No, only the president can talk to him.
The president's translating.
You can't just learn groundhog-ese, Dave.
Oh, of course.
You have to be the president of this weird cult club and hold your stalky stick.
Dave, you can learn groundhog-ese, but it takes a la 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 long, long time.
How long have you been wanting to get that in there?
I think a thing and then I say it and then I instantly regret it. You know my process.
Yeah, it's not a lot of thought. And just to sort of finish up here as well, Phil isn't universally adored. I know everyone in this room is a big fan.
Huge fan.
But he's a bit of a bad boy and even has a criminal record.
he mauled Oprah.
She's like trying to speak groundhoggy. It turns out she insulted him. In 2015, the Merrimack Police Department in New Hampshire issued an arrest warrant for Punxsutawney Phil, having failed to disclose the extreme amount of snow that would ensue. And then in 2018, the Monroe County Sheriff's Office in Pennsylvania issued an arrest warrant for him for deception, citing that winter was only supposed to last 6 more weeks, which would have ended on March 16, and the county suffered a snowstorm on the second day of spring. They're like, let's get him! So I was thinking next year we could go to see Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, I miss that. Where is he?
Punxsutawney.
Oh. That makes sense. Yeah, that does make sense.
Oh, sorry. But you have to go up to his burrow on Gobbler's Knob.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That'll never not be funny.
It's still good.
And that still is good. My report on the bad boy, Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah!
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
My turn. Great. Oh. Oh no. I had this topic suggested directly. I'm doing my stand-up show downstairs, and a listener came earlier in the week, and he said, "Oh, what topic are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know." And he suggested one, and I'm doing it. Right. Anyway, is Sam here? Sam Douglas?
Yay!
Yeah!
Good, Sam.
Thanks so much, Sam.
You're an influencer.
So my question is, this is a local topic.
Oh.
Question is, who is believed to be South Australia's only bushranger? In brackets, it's animal related.
Kangaroo Jack?
Oh, no, that's a good attempt.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
I'd never heard of this. You want to have a stab? Let me throw it over to the...
Greg. Bill. Bill?
Greg Bill,
the bushranger. No, we don't know.
Buffalo Bill?
Does anyone here... Anyone
I will
here
keep trying.
Not Sam.
Outside of Sam, does anyone heard of this? Great. All right, that's good.
Good topic, Sam.
It's his name is John Francis Pegarty, a.k.a. the Birdman of Coorong. Is Coorong a place? Thank God.
Is Coorong a place?
Sam has really led you astray.
Sam wrote this Wikipedia page.
Do we have anyone from Coorong in?
Sort of. We'll take that.
Do you have ancestors from Coorong? Matt probably does as well,
yeah.
To be honest.
You have ancestors, yeah.
I got a little Coorong blood in me, yeah.
What's Coorong like as a place?
Oh, it's very nice, very beautiful.
Really?
Is it far from here?
About an hour and a bit.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm going to try and visit this week. You in particular.
Careful, he will turn up at your door.
So a lot of this story is disputed, including the fact that he's South Australia's only bushranger, and also the fact that he existed at all.
Sam, what are you doing?
But it's a fun story all the same. Here it is. Hey, this one's a little bit early in for you, mate. All right, ready? You know this one. Whereabouts are you from in Ireland? I don't know what that means.
I like it when you crack yourself up.
John Francis Pegarty was born in Limerick, Ireland in 1864.
A good year.
Oh, well. He was born prematurely and grew to the height of a 7-year-old with childlike facial figures. Facial figures? What am I trying to say there?
Features,
great.
Was he seven when he was the height of a 7-year-old?
Yeah, was he seven when he was seven height?
He was the height of a 7-year-old when he was seven, and also when he was 8, 9, and 10.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
waiting for that.
It's a weird way for it to be described, not giving him a height, but that's, yeah, it's all...
No, all 7-year-olds are a certain height.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, this is off the official document. After leaving Ireland, he spent some time in South Africa, where apparently he spent a bunch of it with ostriches. All right, animals are involved now. I was starting to worry. From South Africa, he moved to Adelaide, where he started a gang of boys.
Boy gang. Come on, boys. I want to start a gang of boys. That'd be fun.
Yeah, do it.
Are we your gang of boys?
Yes.
Using their smaller stature to their advantage, the gang's MO was sliding down chimneys to steal jewellery.
How do you get out?
Bloody good question.
Back up the chimney? Out a window that you could have got in the first place?
I guess you get in, you can unlock the door from the inside.
Sure. And clean up the soot that you brought down the chimney.
Yeah, they were a gentleman gang of boys.
Yeah. Boy gang.
According to CoorongCounty.com.au, gold jewellery was his... Did I say that wrong?
No, you're right.
No, they're just laughing at that source.
That website.
Yeah, that exists. CoorongCounty.org. Pretty exciting stuff.
Well, anyway, according to that resource, gold jewellery was his favourite. And the website said, eventually this trade caught up with him, as he had a tendency to flaunt his winnings by draping the load over his body and parading around half naked.
Like Mr. T.
Yeah.
I pity the fool who did not climb down this chimney.
Peggotty would wear the spoils of his robberies, covering himself from head to toe in the shiny bling. And then, yeah, heading around town. Seems silly, but anyway.
And people are like, that's my gold necklace.
But I'm also imagining him running through the streets like Dave runs, so that's pretty funny. Shirt How have you made it this far in life?
Dave, it was with his shirt off, though.
All right, take two. Oh, wow, what a rig. Look at that. Guys, I need you to play along. Yeah, you're impressed. All right.
The majority of his gangmates were eventually arrested, but he avoided that, and he laid low for quite a while.
Laid low, still covered in gold.
The next time Peggotty was seen was near the town of Meningi, still bedazzled with jewellery. Only now, riding on the back of an ostrich.
No.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. You might question where the man found an ostrich in 1800 South Australia.
I do question that, yes.
Well, it seems, people have looked into this, it seems that there were wild ostriches in the Coorong area of the time. Apparently farms in the region used to breed them for their feathers and then released some after the business was no good. And up until 40 or 50 years ago, there were still feral ostriches in the Narang Peninsula and Coorong area.
Huh. And then what happened to them?
They all flew to heaven.
When you said your fact about them, you know, being in that area, I heard an audible wow from over here. That was great.
Hey?
Wow.
You're killing it. Matt, great job.
As a bush ranger on ostrich back, it is said that Peggotty was responsible for over a dozen hold-ups in South Australia. The man was running out of room on his body for all his booty.
He started putting it on the ostrich's neck as well.
That is a fucking blinged up ostrich. Yeah. Now that ostrich sort of has the attitude that goes with it too. Mm. It's like, I know I look good.
ostrich. That's all sort of fun crime. He's also thought to have killed two travellers. Anyway, all...
But the jewels!
All this while, he avoided capture by the authorities, but his luck soon ran out when on September the 17th, 1899, only 2 years after the Saints played in the inaugural season of the VFL... Anyway, on that date...
Hold on. Wow.
On the 17th,
I can go heckle him from back yeah. there.
17th of September, 1899, he tried to rob a man named Henry Carmichael. Carmichael was coming ashore on his boat after a day of fishing, and he was ambushed by Peggotty, armed on ostrich back. But Carmichael refused to yield. Peggotty fired off a couple of shots at the fisherman, but missed.
Has he got a gun or is he shooting his ostrich?
Pew pew. No, he's got a couple of ornamental pistols.
Oh, fun.
Blingy guns. So he missed. Now Carmichael was holding the upper hand and also his rifle. And Peggotty fled on his ostrich. Carmichael had his horse tied up nearby the dock and quickly jumped on board and galloped off in pursuit.
Wait, ostriches are pretty fast, aren't
they? Yeah, really quick.
And the sandy terrain was better suited to the ostrich and Peggotty pulled away. Carmichael cut his losses and dismounted the horse, drew his rifle and started firing off at Peggotty, hitting both Peggotty and his noble steed.
I'm more sad about the ostrich, to be honest.
Hold on, do you mean ostrich or did the guy accidentally shoot his own horse? The noble steed. Oh no! My own horse shot in the head.
Nah, he shot Peggotty and then he was really excited about it so he went to tell his horse. Buttercup, I did it! Buttercup was his best friend.
Oh, Buttercup.
They grew up together.
It was a bloodbath.
As little ponies.
Oh, that's not how it works, but...
What?
So Carmichael rode up the sandbank to make sure he was dead. He found the dead ostrich, but no sign of Peggy, just a trail of blood leading into the bushes. According to the Brand South Australia website...
The what, South Australia?
Brand.
Brand. It's all about promoting South Australia. The eccentric bushranger was never seen again, but his stash of gold chains and jewels are said to be buried deep in the Coorong. What's the Coorong? I thought it was a town.
The area?
Oh, area. Yeah, it's deep in the area. Okay. Yeah, it's buried deep in the area. Skeptics say this story is a load of ostrich shit, as it was... It was only discovered in recent years after the town of Meningie called out for interesting stories about the area to use as promotion. According to Meningie Progress Association member Denise Mason, when we lost the water out of the lake, Meningie was becoming a dying town and tourism was probably the only thing that could get it back on the map. But without water, we had to find some other ways. The story
bullshit.
They fully stand by it. The story is said to have been uncovered in an old magazine article titled The Birdman of Coorong, but many seem to have doubts about its authenticity. Writer Rod Easedown is a skeptic, saying that if you visit the town asking for information, you'll be handed a photocopied story that looks like it came from an old magazine. It seems to be the only thing ever written about Peggy. Seems, you know, slightly sus. Goes on to say, the trouble is that learned histories of Australian bushranging don't mention Peggy. And the only decent hits on Google take you to the story they hand out in Meningie. I suspect Peggy is the figment of some Adelaide PR guy's imagination. It's a bit of a downer. I toyed with just pretending this is real. But anyway, they stand by it. But yeah, it does sound a little bit sus.
And is that PR guy's name Sam?
Sam Douglas, yeah.
Yeah, because you're really getting the story out there.
Either way, the town unveiled a statue of a saddled ostrich in 2000.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
13, where tourists now commonly pose. Does it ring a bell now? Oh, that's what that Australian... Right. No, yeah. No, this is quite an old story. It goes back to the 1800s.
No, that's where you're wrong. It's quite old.
Anyway, it's a pretty great description, even if it's, you know, a fictional character, it's a great description. Described as looking like a bearded child, naked above the waist and draped in gold jewellery, brandishing two ornamental pistols, he could be described as Australia's most eccentric bushranger. If he ever existed. Anyway, that's my report. What do you reckon? Real?
I reckon if he shaved his beard off, he could look like just any regular 7-year-old.
What? Dave, what? You crawled into the scrub and onto the stage.
Yeah, I did emerge from the bushes tonight. And here's my ostrich. He was shot. That's right. Forgot that bit.
I choose to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys reckon? You reckon woo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Dave,
to me.
What do you think?
I want to believe.
But?
Oh, but nothing. I do believe. I wanted to, made myself believe, and now I believe. I think was great.
Cool. Matt, well done.
After your research, you're thinking it's probably real, isn't it?
I think it's probably definitely real, yeah. You know, back history's pages are littered with lost factoids and, I mean, they're not littered with it, actually. They're not littered with the lost factoids of lost facts and stories. And this is another in a long line of fantastic stories lost to history's page, but luckily found in a magazine article and handed in to the tourism board of a small area with a dried up lake. It's a tale as old as time. And I look forward to hearing it yet again. I assume you've got a similar one to tell us right now, Dave.
Well, first of all, we've got to give Matt a big round of applause for the Birdman. We have one final animal-based report to go, and I'm going to get onto it now with this question. If you can answer me this. Don't look.
Well, where you've written question is blank. Dave didn't write a question!
Damn it! It's true! It's true!
I'm going to hang out back here for a bit.
Jess, he did it topless.
Who did it topless? Shut up, Matt.
This is cool. We've never done one with wireless mics
it's
before.
It's a mess. Look at this. Hello. No, how do you do?
It's fun.
Forgot something down here.
Seats over here. This is great. Always great on an audio podcast.
Yeah. For us to
how
wonder.
You,
oh, Dave.
A few
good,
of you,
thanks,
actually,
Dave. How are you?
Yeah, I'm quite good. My name's Josh. How are you?
Dave, you fucked it, mate. it's a real
Matt.
Boring new character you've come up with.
Oh, no.
Lovely
no,
character.
No, I'm Josh. I'm having a great time at the show.
I like leaving Dave on the stage alone.
Don't worry, Jess. I got this.
Dave,
probably how you prefer it.
I'm sitting in the third row and I cannot see you. You are. Can you sit up, mate, please?
Yeah, sit up. Did your mother not teach you to have
a
proper
there he is.
Hi, everyone. Great to be here. Why don't I ask my question and you can ask your chums around you.
Okay, Josh is a real good chum / character of mine.
Yeah, I'll help you out, Dave. I'm Josh. Hi, Josh. I'm so sorry about this. Okay, my question is, Harry is the name... Harry was the first animal of his kind in Australia. But what kind of animal was
K-2?
Harry? What? Yeah, I found the first ever wombat. His name was Harry. And here he is now.
Yeah, you know, animals have Adam and Eve stories as well. Wombats were Greg and Harry.
They had two boys.
They did have two boys and square poop.
Yeah.
Anyway, Josh, what do you reckon?
Emu.
Emu, first, good choice.
First ever emu.
Cane toad? Cane toad, Dave, what do you reckon?
I'm gonna help out the audience and say it's not a native animal.
Does anybody know?
Horse. It got here somehow.
Horse.
Anyone have an idea?
Camel.
Look, I don't want to dust your dreams, but he was a camel. Whoever said camel.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes, you are right to clap. You are right to clap.
Was there like a nursery rhyme or something about Harry? Why am I thinking something the camel had? One hump. Alice. Thank you. So it's not Alice the camel. I was like, Harry doesn't fit in the tune I'm thinking of. That's what I've been thinking this entire time.
No, I'm afraid it's not Alice. It is Harry, who was the first ever camel in Australia.
And was actually named after Prince Harry.
Yeah, that's right.
Indirectly.
Indirectly.
Indirectly, yeah.
Or incorrectly.
I was going to do a primate related story, but I didn't want to burn any sweet material on this stupid podcast. good podcast. Yeah,
not on this side project. All right, so has anyone heard of Harry the Camel?
No.
We've got a hand going up. Hand up the back. Good to have you in.
Hand
good
up the back.
Yes,
Dave is a puppet.
Yeah, I'm asking. I'm taking requests. Yeah, I'll take a hand up the back. Thank you.
No water for you on your report. Off you go. Had your time.
I have also chosen a local topic.
A la 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 long. A la 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 long. I'm going to sing that every time you drink now.
Oh, okay.
For the rest of our lives.
Well, I'm pretty thirsty, Jess.
Na la 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 long, a la 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 long long le long long long.
Oh wow! Can you believe I drank that much? Okay, Harry the Camel. We start with a man called John Ainsworth Horrocks. Bit of a local hero. Do you know John Horrocks?
Horry, I'm getting a nod over here. You know? Do you know him personally?
Yeah. Born in 1818. Wow.
Wow.
You are looking good for your age.
You look fantastic.
Wow.
See, face cream.
You're remembering.
Honestly, Matt, I keep leaving it in your bathroom in the communal house we share.
All right, before we get to Harry, do you know Harry the Camel as well?
Not at all.
Oh,
not
great. All.
Well, strap in.
Great. Well, first, John Ainsworth Horrocks was born in 1818 in Lancashire, England. One of eight children, do they know what was causing it?
Too many.
Too many kids. Too many kids. He was educated in Paris for 2 years, but ran away to join his family, who had since moved from England to Vienna in Austria. So his family sent him to another country and then moved away to another. Get a hint, John.
Yeah.
You're did the they
least,
tell him?
He's the least favourite of eight kids.
Yeah.
That
sent him away.
Sucks.
But he arrived right here in South Australia in 1839 on his 21st birthday. What a present. Welcome to the big smoke.
Are you trying to suck up?
Yeah.
They've already bought tickets and turned up. You don't have, like... Stop kissing their asses.
Look, to be honest, I was mocking you a little bit.
Oh, then proceed.
He's moved from Paris to 1830 South Australia. Bit of a difference. I mean, you keep up with Paris these days, though, am I right? They
but
do
back
call it
then.
The Paris of the South. Australia.
I thought that was Mount Gambier.
Yeah. All right, John was 6 foot two, dark-haired with blue eyes, and possessed a rugged constitution. Yeah. Dream boat. The
what's John's deal? Is he anything?
Put in a good word for you?
There's no dog.
What about old man over here? Will you put in a good word for Jess?
Let me know.
So, the Australian Dictionary of Biography says...
The Australian Dictionary of Biography.
Yep. Which is a favourite source of Matt's, and I've dug into it today.
It's a fantastic source.
It's
do yourself a favour.
It's fantastic.
If you're looking for something to do on this Sunday afternoon, I'd just dive in.
So much to learn.
Mm.
So it says about him on arriving in South Australia, he brought with him a family servant, a blacksmith, a shepherd, 4 merino rams, sheepdogs, tools, sufficient clothing for 5 years, and a church bell.
No kitchen sink, though.
It's quite an eclectic mix, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, he's thought of everything.
5 years of clothing.
He'd be a nightmare to travel with. You know those people who just pack way too much?
Oh, my God, imagine the carry-on luggage, 5 years of clothing.
Far out.
Be insane. At the time in Adelaide, before people could be awarded land for farming, they had to wait for a land survey. So they went through different areas at a time and then divvied up the land. But John wasn't the waiting type, and he just went out and just started farming anyway. Finally, the land survey came back and awarded him much less land than he was actually using, but he still managed to get 9,000 sheep and is believed to have established the first vineyard in the Clare district. What a guy!
Wow. Sorry. Wow.
Wow. I mean, respect in the National Wine Centre.
Yeah, he gets
the first
shit done.
Winery.
I like that.
In 1842, following the death of his father, he went back to Britain but returned to South Australia in early 1844 because he had financial difficulties. But when he returned, he was bored of the farming lifestyle and he wanted adventure. So old John rented out his old farming properties and organised an expedition to find more agricultural lands near Lake Torrens. You guys know this lake?
No.
Guys, this is local reference after local reference. I mean, I haven't heard you say wow once. He said, quote, or he later wrote, "I wanted a more stirring life."
Stirring.
Stirring.
That's a good word.
I like
that. Let's use stirring more.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt, lift your stirring game.
Okay.
Come on, mate.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you.
He tried to get government backing for his expedition up to the lake, but couldn't raise any money, so he had to raise the cash privately. The trek was supposed to take 4 months, and the small party consisted of 6 men, 2 carts, 6 horses, 12 goats, and Harry, the first ever camel in Australia. Harry was one of 9 camels loaded onto a boat at the Canary Islands.
Quick question. Do they know what was causing it? I'm guessing it was some sort of camel breeding program.
Well, he was one of nine.
Too many.
Loaded onto a boat at the Canary Islands.
One more. Get one more camel. Or lose four of them.
Well, they lost most of them, Jess.
Good.
They got to London, then they sent six to Australia, and when they finally got to Adelaide, Harry was the only one left alive.
I'm still standing.
Yeah, he's grooving on the way out. Camels can last a long time without water, but not that many months.
Wow, go Harry. Maybe he was just the most ruthless. Oh. And like, if there was any kind of water source, he would like bully the others out of it. Maybe we don't like Harry. Do we like Harry?
Well, let me describe Harry to you.
He's a camel. End of description.
So, Harry seemed to be a useful addition as he was able to carry heavy loads of up to 160 kilograms and was able to travel for 2 days without water. Also very good on the sand. But Harry also proved to be bad-tempered, often biting the men and the goats, which were being looked after by famous Aboriginal goat herder Jimmy Morehouse, who was also bitten multiple times.
But if you've seen the things that Harry's seen, I can understand him acting out a little bit.
I mean, to survive in that boat, he had to bite five other camels to death.
Yeah.
And then eat them one by one.
Is that what happened, Dave?
Yeah. Well, I read between the lines a little bit. So they've got six men and Harry and a few other things. They took off in late July with the six of them. They proceeded north to Mount Remarkable, where nothing of note happened. Huh?
That took me a little too long.
I added that in the Uber on the way here. Then they went into the Flinders Ranges, where Horrocks discovered a pass which was named after him. I assume it was named after him later.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't just come across a pass.
He sees a pass, says Horrocks Pass. He's like, that's a weird coincidence. Yeah. And then he reads the description, and it's like about his life. And he's
Oh my goodness.
That'd be sick.
In late August, they decided to split the party.
No, never split the party!
Which, as we all know from our old mates Burke and Wills, all good explorers do at some stage in their careers. Our main man, John Horrocks, carried on ahead with Samuel Thomas Gill and Bernard Kilroy, as well as Harry the Camel. So the three went ahead with the camel, they left the others behind. On September 1st, something happened that John Horrocks would be remembered for. Horrocks himself described the situation in a letter. This is in the words of John. Quote, "In going round this lake, which I named Lake Gill," presumably after his mate, "Kilroy, who was walking ahead of the party, stopped, saying he saw a beautiful bird, which he recommended me to shoot to add to my collection." Great guy. "My gun being loaded with slugs in one barrel and ball in the other." Metal ball, I imagine. Not his balls. "I stopped the camel to get at the shot belt, which I could not get without the camel laying down."
Why? Oh, it was too high. I understand. Camels are quite tall. I was like, why does it have to lie down? Because I was imagining it underneath the camel, which is a stupid place to put a bag. And you wouldn't do that. It's on top of the camel and you can't reach it because you're an average sized person. Camels are quite tall. Get the camel to lie down. You can get access to things. I understand now.
Are you with it? Are you with us now?
Again, I'm an idiot.
This is back to the letter. "Whilst Mr. Gill was unfastening it, I was unscrewing the ramrod into the wad over the slugs, standing close alongside of the camel. At this moment, the camel gave a lurch to one side and caught his pack on the lock of my gun, which discharged the barrel I was unloading, the contents of which first took off the middle finger on my right hand between the second and third joints and entered my left cheek by my lower jaw, knocking out my front row of teeth from my upper jaw."
Thank God he's writing this in a letter. Not like an audiobook, you know?
"So, he'd been shot by his own camel, Harry, through the finger and into his jaw. He was now lying badly wounded."
Harry is ruthless.
Yeah.
Harry's bit everyone and now he's like, I'm going to fucking shoot this guy.
He's learning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Clever girl.
He's adapting.
His colleague, Mr. Gill, looked after John whilst the other man, Kilroy, ran to get the help. He covered 65 miles, or 105 kilometres, in 24 hours, on foot through the desert, which is an average speed of 4.23 kilometres an hour. Or if he just sat down for the first 23 of those 24 hours, he would have travelled at 105 kilometres per hour. It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll get going in a minute. Oh, I've been sitting here for 23 hours. Then he took off. To be honest, they should have taken Harry because camels can run at a top speed of 40 miles per hour.
Ah.
Do you know that?
I do now.
Fun fact alert.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It's real. I mean, wouldn't whip it out at a dinner party.
I would never recommend doing that, Jess.
Yeah. You're saying you wouldn't flop your chop at a dinner party?
Not in polite company, no. Certainly not in Adelaide. Someone was disappointed. I don't know if the mics picked that up, but someone went, oh. It's a lovely
That's why
sentiment.
They came to the show.
Yeah.
Kilroy is the man who ran. He returned with a man and a horse, and they transported John Horrocks, the injured man, to a depot where they rested for 5 days. They travelled a little further before a doctor from Adelaide could meet them. Sadly, Horrocks developed an infection and died 23 days after being shot by Harry. That letter I read, it was actually his last letter, 1846. So, there you go. Before he died, Horrocks ordered that Harry the camel be shot so that, quote, he couldn't hurt anyone else.
But preferably just through a finger and then the cheek.
I know. So he was vengeful on the camel.
He's killed. He'll kill again.
He's got a taste for blood. He didn't mention that his friend Kilroy should also be shot, so in future he couldn't recommend people shoot birds to add to his collection. That started it all, but anyway. Yeah.
Don't you think how do you enjoy nature? If I am, you know, out in nature and I see something I like, I shoot it. That's
Take it home.
Take it home.
Yeah, I mean, you took your gun with you to the zoo today.
Yeah, I do. Hey, I got a couple of great zebras in my bag.
Yeah.
If you see that there aren't any zebras at the Adelaide Zoo, that's why.
Yeah.
I saw a beautiful tree, shot that.
Yep.
Saw a beautiful view, it was sort of like a sunset. That was harder to shoot, but I did. Shot right at it a lot. And yeah, I think it got away.
I'm sad to report that the station hand shot Harry, but not before he bit another stockman on the head.
Yes!
Harry holds the distinction of being the first camel in Australia. And John Horrocks holds the distinction of being the only explorer shot to death by his own animal. Well, that's the end of my report, but do you want a couple of camel fun facts?
Yeah.
Always.
Will they be as fun as they run pretty fast? Yeah.
To be honest.
They run pretty fast.
To be honest, they are taken from that exact source. So.
All right, hit us.
Do you know this about camels? To keep sand out of everything, camels have their eyes...
Have their eyes?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
They have 3 eyelids and 2 rows of eyelashes to keep sand out. And their nostrils prevent the sand from entering by closing in between their breaths.
Oh, they can close their nostrils.
Is that fun? Thank you for pitying me.
Yeah. Yeah. She had you back there. Everyone else was like, yeah.
I'm sure a lot of Aussies know, but I don't think overseas people listening will know. In Central Australia, there are several 100,000 feral camels wandering around. Basically, people were using camels to get around until the 1920s and 30s when camels were introduced. So many cameleers...
Sorry, they were using camels until camels came.
Sorry, until cars were introduced.
They're quite different.
Yeah. A slightly bigger camel has arrived. Well, get rid of the runts.
Everyone was using camels until camels were introduced.
So cars started taking off, and so the cameleers
cars
were like...
Cars are taking off?
Yeah, they were. So that many of the cameleers let their camels go free, and the population just kept doubling in size. In 2008, there was estimated to be more than 1 million camels in Central Australia. But in 2013, this was revised to about 750,000, and then a lot were culled, and these days the population is believed to be about 300,000. But the first was a badass named Harry! Yay! Thank you very much.
La 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 long, la 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 long, long, la long, long, long. Girl, I want to make you...
Look, to be honest, I'd try and scull that, but good luck getting that much Adelaide water down in one go.
Oh.
Terrible stuff. Terrible stuff.
No! Love yourselves more! Don't let him do that.
The water is grotty. It's no good.
Sorry.
Good job, Dave. Good report.
Thank you. That just brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much. First time, Man from Ireland, how'd you go?
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
Imagine
much.
If you were like, absolute shit house.
No, he's too polite, but yeah, they'll no, leave and he'll go, yeah, we're not going back to that again.
You're a very, very lovely person. Thank you. Sounded a little too sincere.
Yeah, when you go too sincere, it sounds sarcastic. Yeah. You're a lovely person. We really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, you went too sincere there, Bob.
I tell you what, to be genuinely sincere, we appreciate everyone coming out to our Adelaide show. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you
amazing.
Very much.
Thank you.
People said it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
But we came to Adelaide and had a great time. So thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, a lot of people said don't do it.
Yeah.
But we did.
Yeah.
And you guys bought tickets and you made it worth the trip over. So thank you very, 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 very much. We will be hanging out after the show up the back, I believe. But what do we end up deciding up the back? We have a couple of T-shirts left for sale.
This is the last of this batch of T-shirts. We're not going to be reprinting this design. So if you want to grab a T-shirt, we don't have heaps of sizes left, unfortunately. If you're a medium, go up a size. We've got those. We'd love it if you could help us clear them off if you would like them. There's a couple as well that are left from our UK tour, so a couple of exclusive colours if you want to grab those. But also, we'll just be up there if you want to come and say hello.
You are such a retail pro.
Yeah,
that
no.
is.
Yeah. I worked in retail for too long. So we will be up there. You obviously don't have to buy anything. I'm just letting you know what's there. You can come say hello. You can just leave. Whatever you want. Live your lives. I don't care.
But if you are going to hang around the Wine Centre for a couple of hours after this, I'll tell you what, a great show that I saw last night, downstairs. Mr. Matt Stewart!
Yeah!
He was wondering. Who is it?
Who did you see? Yes, I'm doing the show for tonight at 8, but also till next Sunday at 8 o'clock. And it'll be real good. Most nights there's been a couple of do-go-on listeners in. It's been very nice.
Very cool.
And it's even funnier than this show. So,
Yeah, probably. Has anybody in the audience seen Matt's show yet this week? A few of you? Awesome.
Great job.
Thank you so much. Thank you for going, because when shows go badly for him, he gets very grumpy and he's a nightmare to be around. It's a real diva. Thank you as well to the National Wine Centre.
Yes,
it's a beautiful venue.
It's a fantastic venue.
To Marcel and Elle running this, and Scott, our tech. Thank you so much, Scott.
There's so many shows going on here for the rest of the Fringe at the Wine Centre, so yeah, check it out. It's a real great hub to hang around in, see a few shows back to back. But yeah, that just brings us into the show. We'll be up the back, even if you just want to come say hi. We'd love to meet all of you Adelaide legends. But until next time, we'll say thank you so much for coming out, and until next time, goodbye!
Laters, cheers!
Bye!
Well, was that not just some of the best live theatre that you've ever heard? It was just fantastic from start to finish. I sat here obviously listening to it all over again. Even though I don't have the recording on me, I just played it back in my mind. You know, that the memory of it is so good. But as a way to ease you out of the episode and that super high that you must be feeling right now, joy and whatnot, I thought I would do everyone's favourite segment of the show, the Patreon Reads. This is where we talk about some of our great Patreon supporters. If you want to support the show, one way you can do it is by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/dogoonpod. And there's a bunch of different levels you can do on there. And some of them have rewards, including bonus episodes. We do 2 bonus episodes a month. You can also get shout-outs at the end of the episode. You get I try and keep you up to date with a weekly newsletter of some sort. You get to hear what the upcoming topics are going to be for Book Cheat. You get to hear what book it's going to be ahead of time, and we tell you what the topics are going to be for Do Go On and Primates as well, if you want to know about those. Speaking of primates, this week's episode is a banger. It's my first one with an international guest. I spoke to a primate expert from La La Land in America, in LA. And yeah, we had a really interesting chat, so I think that's worth listening to. That comes out tomorrow. But now it's time for the fact, quote, or question segment brought to you by a Patreon supporter. Each week we get a fact, a quote, or a question from one of our Patreons on a certain level. I think it's the Sydney Sheinberg level. May he rest in peace. Very sad news if you don't know Sydney Sheinberg, the man who we're also fond of here, passed away during the week. We didn't mention that on the show. I think we're going to, I imagine, in some time before too long, we'll do a Sydney Sheinberg special. But yeah, generally it was pretty amazing. A guy we'd never met or anything, but we were all a bit devoed by that, a bit devastated by the news. It was very sad. But anyhow, a Sydney Sheinberg Memorial Patreon supporter is Zach Dobrin. It's his first time in the fact, quote, or question segment, and if you give us a fact, quote, or question, you also get to give yourself a title. And Zach has given himself the title Junior Assistant Director of Procrastination. He goes on to explain he's a history major, so he has major experience in procrastinating on historical research. So I think I can relate to you a little bit there. Zach, your quote, you've given us a quote, which is great. Love a quote. We don't get heaps of those. But your quote is, there is something so human about taking something great and ruining it a little so you can have more of it. That's from Michael from The Good Place, played by Ted Danson. Great show. Love that show a lot. And a great quote. Thank you so much, Zach. What a guy. You're one of my favorite, probably even my favorite junior assistant director of procrastination for the show. I really do appreciate all the fine work you do down there in the procrastination department. It is pretty hectic in there sometimes. A lot of people getting not a lot done. Thank you so much, Zach. What a bloody top bloke. Now, the other part of the Patreon section is where we thank a few of our supporters. Normally, Jess comes up with a bit of a game, but obviously here on my lonesome, if you are fully shattered that the others aren't helping read out the names and your name is read out now, maybe let us know and we'll do something about it. But I'm going to do three. We normally do six. I'll just do three here today. They are, for starters, maybe I'll give you an animal. If you were a famous animal, I'll figure out what your famous animal would be with the power of my mind. Firstly, from Missouri City in Texas, America, it's Matt Lass. Matt Lass, the world is home. Don't know the words to that song, unfortunately, the Matt Lass song. Missouri City, let's see what your animal is there. If I Google Missouri City, and that'll come up with something very fascinating. Here we go. Oh, it's got a Wikipedia page. For those of you don't know, Wikipedia is a website which sort of has a lot of information on it, and you can sort of log on, so to speak. I don't think you need to log in, but you can log on and check out what it has to say. Okay, parks, demographics, doesn't have an animal section. Notable people, Frank Beard from ZZ Top, the guy with the mustache, that's cool. Travis Scott. And Warren Moon. Okay, I don't actually know most of these people. Any of... the Houston Astros pitcher, Doug Bacall. And... oh, Beyonce Knowles. Okay, that's a big one. Why didn't they lead off with that? She's buried down at number 7. Number 6. Nah, I think she's number 1 there. That's pretty good. But no animal. All right, so I don't know what your native animal is. I'm going to assume it is, and this is also your animal now, Matt. You are the Missouri City wolf dog, you big old wolf dog, and I mean that as an absolute compliment. Thank you so much, Matt, you bloody legend from Missouri City, Texas, the wolf dog of Missouri City. Good boy. All right, and secondly, from Carlsbad, New Mexico. I'm guessing NM is New Mexico or North Melbourne in the United States. I'm saying New Mexico. Carlsbad, that's a bit rough on Carl. I wonder what he did to cop that from a whole city. Carlsbad. Hey, Carl's all right, isn't he? Carlsbad. There is one in New Mexico, according to Wikipedia. Did I say your name? If I didn't. From Carlsbad in New Mexico, it's Derek Brigham. Brigham here. Brigadier. Oh, that's fun. Derek. Nice one, Derek. Oh, this looks like a nice city. It's right down the bottom center of America. I just scrolled past that said Carlsbad. The rediscovery of Carlsbad Caverns, then known as Bat Cave. I wonder if that was where the Batman is from. Carlsbad. That's cool. Mining. Potash is a potassium-containing compound used as a fertilizer. Wow. So it sounds like there's a bit going on there. You've got fertilizers. You've got healthcare. Carlsbad Medical Center is the primary hospital facility serving the greater Carlsbad area, operated by Community Health Systems. Bloody hell. There is a big... All right, now, notable people, here we go. Let's see if I've heard of any of these. You've got Barry Sadler. Okay, I don't know who that is. You've got Sonny Throckmorton, apparently a singer and songwriter. Sonny Throckmorton. John Wooten. No, these are made... Sorry, I think these might all be made up. Sorry, you don't have any real ones. Shane Andrews from... He's played in Major League Baseball. That's something. Oh, hang on. Bruce Cabot. He's the actor who played Jack Driscoll in the 1933 film King Kong. And appeared in many of close friend John Wayne's films. Okay, Bruce Cabot. Now that sounds familiar. Bruce Cabot. Oh, look at him go. Bruce Cabot. Yep, all right, well done. He was also in The Last of the Mohicans. Fritz Lang's Fury. Dodge City. Yeah, you've done well there. Well done indeed. So that is... I'm going to call Derek Brigham. I need to... So, Bruce Cabot. You are... Again, I didn't see any Carlsbad animals. But I'm going to give you... Your animal is going to be the Bruce Cabot... You're the Bruce Cabot Black Bear. Which is an animal that converts from a bear into a Bruce Cabot when the moon is nearly full. When it's a full moon, it's nothing happens. But it's nearly full, you become Bruce Cabot and you act in movies. So that's cool. Derek? Yeah? Derek, that's cool? Okay? We're going to say that's cool. Okay, Derek? Okay, that's cool. I'm sitting in a bedroom talking to myself. Okay. So let's just say that's cool, Derek. Thanks, mate. And finally, from Cicero in IL, which is probably Illinois, it's Miguel Angel Perez. Holy moly, fantastic name. Let's see where Cicero is. Cicero. Okay, let's come up with Cicero, the Roman statesman. Let me see. Cicero, Illinois. Yes, okay. Originally known as Hawthorne, is a suburb of Chicago. Ah, Chicago, the Windy City. So close to Gary. Have you been? Tell me you've been. Please tell me, Miguel, you've been to Gary. God damn it. Why would you live so close to Gary and not in Gary? Doesn't make any sense. Let's see who your notable people are before I give you an animal. Another very imaginative animal. Doesn't seem to have any... Oh, you don't have any at all. You've got landmarks, including Chodal Auditorium. You've got the... I mean, I didn't realize you had Chodal there. That's great. Which is obviously located inside Morton East High School, built in 1924 and completed in 1927. It replaced the 1,200-seat auditorium, which was destroyed by fire. Chodal Auditorium. Did you pick up that cargo and pass? Pretty cool. Yeah, I live near a road. What else have we got here? It's got a fire department. In popular culture. Okay, here we go. Joby Cerny, or Cherny, is an actor from Cicero and is the voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy. Huh? That sounds like that would mean something to American people. It's mentioned as the hometown of Jimmy McGill / Saul Goodman in the Better Call Saul pilot episode Uno. That's pretty good. And in Guys and Dolls, the Chicago area gangster, Big Julie, claims to be from East Cicero or Chicago, Illinois. And also pronounces the final S on Illinois. Illinois. That's fun. All right, great. Now we need an animal for you. I want an Illinois animal. Groundhogs are native there. Oh, it's hard to go past that. Mallard ducks. You got the eastern cottontail rabbit. Lake sturgeon. Okay. Miguel Angel Perez, MP. You are going to be called. I think I'm getting a real vibe. Coyote's just such a fun. I'm going to call you. You are the Cicero Coyote. And I'm so sorry I'm pronouncing that wrong. Chicaro, Cicero. You probably say it different to I would. Anyway, Miguel, thank you so much for your support. Derek as well. And Matt, what a trio of American citizens you are. Texas, New Mexico, and Illinois. Three of the great 50 states of the United States of America. Thank you so much for your support. If you do want to support us, as I said before, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod. And then one day we'll be reading out your name and speaking some gibberish. Thank you so much for everything. What else should I tell you? If you want to find us online, you go to dogoonpod.com and that should link to everything. But if you want to go direct to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, dogoonpod is what we are on all of those. dogoonpod@gmail.com if you want to email. If you could give us a 5-star review, that would mean so much. Really would. And it'd be great to see you at live shows if you're in or near Melbourne or Thailand, the island of Koh Samui. And yes, we will hope to have more info about more live shows soon, coming to other cities around Australia, and bloody fingers crossed that we can move on America sometime before too long. It is proving a little more tricky than we realised, but I'm sure we're going to make it happen. Yes, let me know if you've got any questions or feedback or anything, as always, on the social medias or whatnot. Give us a 5-star review, and thanks so much for joining us. And let's see you. How does Dave normally finish? He says, "We'll see you next week" or something. And then I go, "Laters." And Jess says, "Bye."
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.